What do we understand about autoimmune disorders, the role of trauma in their development, and how to heal in profound and self-empowering ways? Let's take a deep dive into overcoming autoimmune illnesses with holistic nurse, entrepreneur, and transformational health and wellness coach, Ashley Durant, right here on episode 323 of The Nurse Keith Show. Hey there, this is Nurse Keith. In these days of the COVID-19 pandemic, I'm still, of course, bringing you my pandemic updates at the end of every month. Meanwhile, this podcast continues to be all about you, your personal and professional development, your nursing and healthcare career, and the healthcare system as a whole. And I'm here to share education, ideas, diatribes, and informative interviews like this one with some of the most inspiring people from the worlds of healthcare, nursing, entrepreneurship, medicine, and beyond. I love having you along for the ride, whether you're new to the show or you've been here with me for months or maybe even years. Thanks for being part of the growing Nurse Keith Nation. And remember that Nurse Keith Coaching is your destination for all things related to your career. I offer individualized, holistic career coaching for nurses and healthcare professionals all around the world. And if you mention the show, you can get 10% off your first coaching package. So email me today at keith@nursekeith.com to schedule a complimentary chat. The show notes for this episode, which of course you're going to want to really check out, will be at nursekeith.com/episode and the number 323. Gosh, that's a big number. Yeah, really getting up there, Ashley. So anyway, I'm here with my new friend, Ashley Durant, and friend of the pod. And Ashley, before we talk about your amazing life and your amazing daughter and your mini ponies and all those sorts of things, what can you say, just give us a brief overview of what are our views of autoimmune illnesses at this time in history? Where do we stand with, like, just even how we look at them?
So that is kind of what gets me fired up.
Oh, good. All right.
I mean, you're hitting right on the nail on the head. So conventional medicine right now doesn't have a ton of information about autoimmune disease and what. There's a lot of theories floating around, but not a ton of concrete evidence to what's causing them. And I looked up a couple of stats because I thought it was super important, but the average time to diagnose autoimmune disease is 4.5 years with a span of 4 doctors at least. That is like the average. And if you think of a flu or diabetes, we know so much that we diagnose that at the drop of the hat, but autoimmune disease is so nuanced and each person shows up in such an individual manner that we're just completely missing the mark on not only how to diagnose it, but how to treat it. So there's, and sometimes conventional doctors or even holistic, I'm not going to say either way, they don't understand something. They don't really go into it a little bit more and really do the research. They just don't have the time. Healthcare is a busy field. So no shame, but there's a lot of information missing and we're missing the mark a little bit.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought so. but is it, are autoimmune diseases sort of the neglected stepchildren of medicine and healthcare? And is it just that we don't have the time, or is there just no money in it, like in terms of research? And are people just not doing research on autoimmune?
It certainly feels like all of the above.
Okay.
It's hard to research when everyone shows up so bio-individual to the disease process. So I had huge symptoms and one of my autoimmune diseases wasn't even in a category they normally even treat it at, but my symptoms were debilitating. And I'm finding this a lot with a lot of my clients is they're having these debilitating symptoms, but because they can't give it a concrete answer that they're like, it's anxiety or maybe it's depression. And they put them on a Band-Aid fix-all of, you know, a Zoloft and call it a day. And that's just prolonging the diagnosis and causing more organ damage from the autoimmune disease tearing through their system because we haven't learned about it enough to fix it. And then they're ending up with failure of organs. It's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. And your story's not uncommon. It seems pretty ubiquitous. And you may or may not have met my friend Nadine Grishkowiak. She's known as the gluten-free RN. And she's written a book called Dough Nation, D-O-U-G-H. And that's her first book. Her next book's coming out soon, I'm pretty sure. We'll get her back on the show. But she tells the story in that book and on her interview here on the show from a year or two ago. She talks about how she actually ended up having celiac, but nobody identified it for, I don't know, 8 years, 9 years. And she was in multi-organ failure and almost dead. Like she was on the verge of dying, kind of like you, actually. Mm-hmm. So lots of things seem to fall into this bucket of, oh, we don't really know what it is. It's idiopathic, you know, which means we don't know what the heck causes it and we don't even care, or we just don't have time, right?
Absolutely.
And we're not going to get into COVID because that's a whole other conversation, but long COVID has the potential to fall in there, but there's so much media attention on it right now and so much research and money that I think, luckily, those people are not going to fall into that bucket of we can't help them. So long COVID, I think we're going to head that off at the pass. However, with other diseases, and you can share as much of your own personal history as you care to, and I'm not going to ask you to share at all. But what could you tell me about your own journey without disclosing anything you don't want to disclose, about what that process was like of going to, I'm assuming from our past conversations, like doctor after provider after doctor,
and absolutely
not getting anywhere. So how frustrating was that for you, especially because you were a healthcare professional already?
I'm pretty transparent with my journey by choice, because I feel like that's really what connects me to my clients, and they don't want to hear from someone high and mighty who has no idea what's going on, mm-hmm. on advice, or even just to open up. It doesn't feel like a safe place because they've been burned by so many doctors or healthcare providers prior to. So for me, I had my daughter in 2017, and about a year afterwards, I was weaning from breastfeeding. And I think something about that hormone shift completely knocked me out of whack. There was multiple other things. I had a couple of issues after having birth that really strained my body. I'm a previously healthy person. Nothing was wrong. So when I went in and I said, my gut is completely jacked up, I feel like I want to throw up all the time, they were just like, oh, you just have gastritis from post-infectious. You had something and now you're still going. And I was like, my doctor knows I don't come in there unless I'm about dead. I don't go. I'm a nurse. I'm very self-reliant. You know how we are. We don't need anybody. So when I came back a second time, she was like, yikes, sent me to a GI doctor who put me on all kinds of medications that made me worse. I lost over 30 pounds in a month. I couldn't keep any weight on. There was multiple things. And he found out that my ANA was positive, which is a sign of autoimmune disease. It can be positive for a couple other things. But he found the answer and was super psyched. He left practice. And then I had to go to another doctor. And it was one thing after another. We would get these little snippets of answers. But at the worst of it, I ended up with adrenal insufficiency, which is, will kill you. And I remember going to the ER, and my own boss, director of the ER I worked in, looked me dead in the eye and said, you're going to have to look a lot sicker to convince me you're sick.
Your own boss?
My own boss.
So you were an ER nurse at the time.
Yes.
So it's not like you were a stranger to healthcare.
Not at all.
You were not a stranger to the ER. And the ways in which people can present, which is not always in your face, right?
Yes.
So your own boss said that. So what did you say or do when that happened?
Well,
I'm just curious.
I wish I had more with me to say something. But at the time, I think I was so taken aback. And this is something I see with my clients. And I was so exhausted because I was in adrenal failure. I had nothing to add. So I knew I was there. I even told him why I thought I was there. And he didn't even check my cortisol levels, which is the thing that would have told him. So thankfully, I had someone on my side, and my endocrine doctor messaged me back that same day and was able to catch it before it turned into something bad. But he completely missed the mark. And it sounds funny, but I'm so grateful to him because he gave me such fire to do what I do. And if he would have treated me like, you know, any other person, I would have been like, oh, I would have just kept going. But because he so blatantly challenged my just being there at that time, specifically as a healthcare worker who works across the hall in the other part mm-hmm. of the ER, it lit a fire that will never be extinguished. So I am oddly grateful to him, even though he completely gaslit my experience and left me hanging, thankfully, not to a worse outcome.
Wow. Was he a nurse or doctor?
Doctor.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Just saying. Okay. Yep. Say no more. Okay. So he totally gaslit you and mm-hmm. did you get sent home and then you followed up with the endocrine person? Okay.
Yes. I called nonstop because I knew it's like my intuition was like, you need to get a hold of somebody because you need steroids or you're not going to be here much longer.
Yeah. And you had a 4-year-old daughter. No, she was one. She was an infant, right?
Yes.
So she was an infant. You weren't breastfeeding anymore. That's sort of what you said kicked it off
yep.
when you stopped breastfeeding, when you weaned. So that's not an unusual story. And you're an ER nurse. You don't work in the ER anymore.
No,
right?
I full-time my business.
You're a full-time self-employed nurse entrepreneur.
Yes.
And you're a board certified, is it called a holistic wellness coach under the AHNA?
So I'm board certified as a holistic nurse and board certified as a nurse coach. And they combine to make board certified health and wellness nurse coach.
That's right.
It's like grand title.
It's awesome. Yeah. So you have all of that under your belt now. So you and I both have related certifications under the AHNA, and those are recognized. Like those are real certifications. They're not just like some fluffy coaching thing you did on the weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not to cast aspersions on weekend coaching courses, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're coming from a healthcare background. You've been a nurse for how long now?
10 years this year.
Okay. So a decade. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And when you went through this experience and you've been on your healing journey now for 4 years, more or less, because Sammy's 4 now, right?
Yep.
And she has ponies. We'll talk mm-hmm. about that. you said, you know, pandemic, you know, sometimes you just have to buy a pony.
Absolutely.
Why not get two?
Right. I mean, we're here to live life.
Yeah. And I'm convincing you to get mini donkeys next.
Absolutely. So it's on my to-do list.
So we'll talk. Okay. So when someone comes to you and says, hey, I know something's wrong with me. Nobody's really listening. Or maybe there's one provider out there who's listening, but I can't get anything done. And I'm being gaslit and I feel crazy. And I feel like nobody really cares or nobody has the, I don't know what it is, temerity or curiosity to dig deep and figure out what's going on with me. What do you first do with someone when they come to you and tell you a story that you totally understand from a personal perspective?
I first and foremost with these clients, I mean, these people are my soul people, right? Like I feel like I'm even doing them a demerit calling them clients. They're literally my soul people. Mm-hmm. I validate their reality. Because okay. that is the first key to healing, is their reality has been questioned. Their reality hasn't been taken into account. And when your voice has not been heard, one of the most healing things is to be heard. So before we even get to any details, before we even get to what do you think's going on? What do you eat? You know, how do you spend your time? It's, can I just really hear your story? I'm not going to interrupt. I want to hear exactly where this started, where it's going, how you've reacted to it, what you've experienced. I want the whole thing. So we spend a good 2 hours, the very first call, getting a real in-depth, I guess, like a synopsis, right, of what's going mm-hmm. on with them. And what we find there is there's about 800 clues. If someone would have taken that time to spend instead of the 15-minute HMO-built appointments that we have now, that lead us to so many more possibilities and so many more answers. So not only is it healing for the client and for me to be able to pass on my hurt in a productive way, also we gain so much insight there on how to move forward. It's huge. But if we can't validate and make them feel that they are valid in their place, then the rest of it's a wash. I want them to feel heard. That is my first and most important job as their coach.
You're actually listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine. Like,
right. That, what a novel idea.
What a novel idea. And there is a lot of power in actually listening and allowing a patient, client, et cetera, soul person, to be heard, like to really tell their story and not be gaslit and not be told, oh, it's all in your head, or, you know, maybe you just need an antidepressant, you know. And at the same time, at the very top of the show, when I introduced this conversation, I asked about, or I mentioned, the role of trauma in the development of autoimmune disorders. And we don't necessarily mean like a car accident. So what have you discovered about the role of trauma? And did you discover it through your own personal experience related to your autoimmune? Or was it more like you kept hearing it over and over again from your clients?
I learned it for myself first. One of the biggest changes in my antibody levels. So when I got diagnosed, my antibody levels were over like 900, which they had a retest because it was so high, they didn't believe it. And one of the biggest drops in my journey of making my autoimmune disease calm down was dealing with repressed trauma that I didn't even really consciously knew I had. And so when it happened for me, I was like, there's more to this. We're being gaslit by doctors. And if you have previous trauma, which is what I worked with my therapist, and she's incredible, and I will be doing further colleague work with her, I am sure, after this, was that these clients have repressed trauma, which can drive autoimmune disease and drive the way that it affects your body. And then they're being re-traumatized when they go to these doctors to be heard, and they're being gaslit, which is a form of, I mean, I'm not saying the doctor is intentionally abusing. That's, I want to be clear here. But when they're being gaslit, it's almost re-traumatizing them from the things from before. So they may all have a different sort of emotional trauma from their past, but that's almost what I'm finding with my clients is it doesn't matter what kind. When they come and they're being gaslit and their reality is being denied as a grown adult coming to their doctor in a vulnerable place to ask for help, it does a number. And then they don't talk about it anymore. And then it gets worse and they repress it more because they don't feel like, they feel like it's all in their head. And it's a very, almost cut and dry, it seems like, with each client, just very unique story backgrounds.
Cut and dry in terms of that the trauma history is there.
And then it's re-trauma. It's like a pattern almost. You can see the re-traumatization and then they wall off. And it's very intriguing to see from the client coach perspective versus being in it. But also that's what's great is I was in it. So I can speak to it a little bit differently than probably most can.
Yeah. So when you started working with clients, which was within the last several years, right?
Mm-hmm. 2 years? January 2020 is when I bit the bullet and filed my LLC.
Yeah. So as you're working with clients, it's probably like you're hearing your own story over and over with different modifications and peregrinations of those stories, but still it's these patterns emerge and the light bulbs go off in your head over and over again.
Absolutely.
So without divulging, you know, yours or anyone else's specific traumas, what are just a couple examples? What traumatic histories or types of histories do people come to the table with, just in general?
In general, it looks like a lot of manipulation, like a lot of manipulation in like childhood scenarios. Honestly, a lot of times sexual or physical abuse. I mean, heavy stuff. And I think what I'm learning is the shame piece of like feeling like you're broken, feeling like something that you kind of inherit from being traumatized on any level, as whether it's a younger child or younger version of yourself, so easily will reawaken at those times of when you're being put down specifically. Or, I mean, I've had friends call me crying and I get so infuriated that they felt so unheard by their doctors. And that's what I'm like, it's that shame piece. Cause you, if you don't get rid of it in this first part, right? Like this first trial of abuse, it's going to keep rearing its ugly head until we've become aware of it and sort of worked through it the best that we can. Cause the trauma doesn't go away. It's not something we just flip a switch on, and no one's trauma proof. We all have something. So it's just the degree it affected you, the degree that you have been able to integrate it into your life and kind of what you're carrying on in the future.
Well said. Now, I don't think there's a lot of information out there about this, but that's just my own opinion. So I want to ask you, have there been any connections drawn so far between why somebody with a trauma history develops autoimmune disorders? Has anyone actually been able to pinpoint anything at all?
No. They see the correlation, but no one has gone to dig into the causation, which is something else that fired me up, but there isn't a lot of money there. So I don't anticipate that that would be something we would dive into anytime soon, but it is a necessary piece to truly healing these clients.
So I guess the understory here, the subterranean level within the healthcare industry, is that because there's no real research going on that we're aware of anyway, because there's not like some drug that's going to emerge, that's going to be marketed, that's going to be like, oh, heal your trauma and heal your autoimmune illness, right? So yeah. It's not something that's going to be marketable, so to speak.
Yes, that's how it feels. I think that's why you said earlier, the stepchild, the forgotten stepchild, that's what it feels like, because I remember asking one of my doctors, what specifically doctor works with autoimmunity, because it's an immune system issue. It's not an organ issue. Mm-hmm. And she said, that's my job because I work with that organ. And I was like, but you don't work with the immune system. It's a whole body situation. She goes, right. Mm-hmm. I wasn't being rude, but I was like, how much training have you had in the autoimmune piece of that? And she was like, enough to know diet and exercise will help. And I'm like, that's all I have to go with. And she said, yeah, that's all you have to go with. I'm like, well, that'll fix just about 90% of the diseases out there. That's not very helpful. Right. So it's what it felt like. It's like, here's this big diagnosis that your body is literally attacking itself. Your body doesn't feel safe, which is also a piece of trauma, is you're in a system that doesn't feel safe to live in. And there's nothing to help you. Like that hopelessness is a quick trip to depression and negative thoughts, just because you feel like you have this thing that's going to eventually take you out, but there's nothing to be done about it.
Mm. Depression, anxiety too, I'm sure.
Yes, that out of control.
Yeah. And if like you have a little daughter and you want to be healthy and present, et cetera, right? And speaking of being a parent, I just wanted to ask, how does this manifest in people's lives in their, we've talked about their relationships with providers, right? Getting poo-pooed, getting gaslit, right? Mm-hmm. Being told like, well, there's really nothing I can really do for you, or I don't understand it. And there's nobody who can help you. What is it like in your personal relationships, or let's say in generally, how does it affect personal relationships? And work, for instance, those spheres of life.
So for me, and a lot of my clients too, but I don't like to speak for them unless they want to, is I ended up having to leave my job because I was running out of leave because it was unpredictable at that point. So it was more stress to worry about my call outs than to just leave at that point. So I ended up having to leave my job. And as far as relationships, I'm a high achieving woman. I have been my whole life. I worked like 60 hours, was in nursing school full-time. I go very hard. So when I got to a point where I physically couldn't get out of bed, it created this craziness in my family relationships, because I went from the rock and solid foundation of productivity in our home to needing full on. I mean, there was a point me and my husband were both out of work for 6 months because I couldn't go to work and I couldn't take care of my daughter. And because we were both out of work, we couldn't afford someone to help us. And it got really rough for a while. And I run into that with clients too, is that they're often in this place of relationship, like just the way you exist in the world completely changes. And when your identity is a high achiever, and then I get thrown into, I can't get out of bed. Speaking of another, traumatizing emotional shift. And then you feel like there's no end, right? Like, because they're saying there's no thing. So a lot of times my clients have a hard time asking for help because they've never had to their entire lives. So they have these strained relationships, and you can't be a mom. You're exhausted or so physically weak, you can't get up. It strains and it ripple effects into every area of your life for sure.
So we're talking about strained relationships with the healthcare system as a whole, because nobody can help you, you get dismissed, et cetera. Strained relationships with your career because it's hard to like do things, right? It's hard to stay.
You can't predict.
Right. You can't predict, so you can't be productive, and it thwarts your growth, let's say, as a professional, right?
Yes, for sure.
Then it affects your interpersonal relationships because you can't be, like you said, the rock. You can't be the productive, helpful, present person that maybe you always were and people were used to and relied on. So it has this universal impact on every layer of your life that you could possibly identify. And that obviously, you're working with a therapist, and I'm sure most of your clients do too, goes deeper into your self-esteem and how you feel about, you know, the trajectory of your life and what you've accomplished or want to accomplish, right?
Absolutely.
So it gets deeper, deeper, deeper. So when we come back from the break, I want to talk about solutions, because I always like to go from the story and the problem to solutions, because nurses like that, right?
Yeah, give us some hope. We like to fix things.
Right. We assess, we diagnose, right? Then we come up with a plan and then we implement it, right? Good old nursing process. So when we come back, we're going to dive into that and talk about what you've found in your work and your personal journey, how you get from, you know, point zero to, you know, going where it is you want to go in your life. How's that sound?
Sounds great, Keith.
Okay, so we'll be right back for the second half of episode 323 of the Nurse Keith Show. So now we're going to take a pause for the cause for just a moment. Please consider becoming a patron of the Nurse Keith Show, just like other awesome listeners who value the show so much that they want to give just a little bit each month to support the work we're doing here. When you pledge, you not only get the satisfaction of helping produce and support the Nurse Keith Show, you also get some pretty cool premiums and gifts from yours truly. Just head over to patreon.com/nursekeith to read all about it. That's patreon.com/nursekeith. And if you know someone who could benefit from career coaching with me, please consider referring them. And if they become a paying client, you'll receive credit for an hour of coaching with me, and there's no expiration date on that credit, so you can keep it in your back pocket until you need it most. And remember that you can refer as many people as you like and continue to earn those coaching credits. What an incredible deal. And please head over to nursekeith.com and sign up for my newsletter, which comes out regularly and brings you supportive messages, updates from my blog and my podcast, resources, and all sorts of other stuff. Remember, nursekeith.com, sign up for that newsletter, and you'll also get a free download from me as my gift to you. Anyway, those are my sincere asks today. So now let's dig back into today's topic without further ado. And welcome back to the second half of the episode. Remember the show notes where you can learn all about Ashley Durant and her work at Deeply Rooted Wellness LLC will be at nursekeith.com/episode and the number 323. So yes, we're here again with my friend Ashley Durant. Ashley, it's so great to have you here. And we were just joking during the break. I was asking you if you needed to go outside and feed the ponies. And you said, your husband's taking care of that. Yeah.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah. So just for a second, you told me that your daughter's Sammy is 4 now.
Yep.
Right. And it's funny, before we started recording, I said, what is Sammy into? Ponies? And you said, yeah, she's really into ponies. So I figured you got her like some My Little Pony toys and stuff. So how did you decide to actually buy Sammy 2 actual mini ponies?
So I'm not as bougie and obnoxious as that comes off, but we have a friend up the road who she does horseback riding lessons with, who had one, who was just kind of hanging around. They've had him forever. He was a rescue situation. And she was like, well, you could have him. And I'm like, I was curious to the possibility because, you know, I'm a coach, that's my job. And I was like, you know, I have 2 acres. I could probably have a mini pony. So we set up, we're like, we're going to do it. And then a friend of them heard we were getting mini ponies and his job is to match people with horses and found a hoard of mini ponies and had them for sale. And I'm like, well, I mean, they can't be alone. My job is connecting humans on a deeper level. I got to connect these ponies. So now we have 2.
Cool. Wow. What are their names?
Ginger and Dreamy.
Oh, that's so sweet. How old are they?
Dreamy is, I believe, 8 or 10. Mm-hmm. And Ginger's around 4 or 5. So he's kind of young still. Mm-hmm.
It's sweet. You know, I live in this little rented 700-foot adobe near the mountains here in Santa Fe on the edge of town. And it's very rustic and fairly rural. And there's a little shed beyond the wall right next to me where I'm standing talking to you. And that shed didn't used to have a wooden floor. It had dirt floor. Mm-hmm. And guess what lived in that shed? A pony.
Get out.
Yeah. So there's an old trough back here, 2 troughs that...
So you're set up for a donkey is what you're saying?
Yeah, but I'm probably going to turn those troughs into planters this...
Oh, I support that too.
This summer. Yeah. But my dream is to have a ranch called the Triple D Ranch, and it'll be donkeys, dogs, and ducks. So stay tuned.
I am here for that dream.
Thank you. So, you know, we're laughing and telling stories, but I think personally, and I bet you'd agree that having a good life, whether you have a chronic illness or not, also has to do with having things that make you happy and living in a place that feels safe and like home and where you can live the kind of life you want to live. So you live with your husband and your daughter, Sammy, and you've got 2 ponies now and you live on 2 acres. And it sounds like to me that through this journey of healing you've been on, see how I'm tying in the pony story really
well?
Oh,
absolutely. You're killing it.
Yeah, I know. thought of it myself. it's kind of like you've actualized your healing in the outer world as well as your inner world. And obviously pets and animals and the land and nature and your home can all be part of that, right?
Absolutely.
Whether it's a puppy or a pony or a duck or a goldfish, you know, whatever it is, or organic garden or flowers or whatever. Right?
Yes. Do more of what makes you happy.
So in your coaching, when somebody comes to you, they've told you their story, you've deeply listened, like you told me, you really listen, and you use your innate Ashley nurse and coach curiosity and empathy to really listen and really hear them. So once you've done that and you've done your assessments and all the things that you do to gather the data and the story, how do you get to solutions? And I'm assuming it has to be pretty darn individualized.
Absolutely. Right?
So how do you go about it? Because most of the listeners here are nurses, so they might be real interested in like, how does Ashley help people?
Yeah. So for me, obviously I take the time to listen, but what that normally draws out is my clients know. They know what they need to do. No one really comes to me completely just, I don't even know where to start. They have an inkling. And when you hear them and give them the space to listen, they oftentimes come up with their own solutions, just maybe don't know how to apply it to their life right now.
Okay.
So then we should problem solve. So what's going on in your life right now? How's your life set up? And how can we get you to this part, right? Like we know now we've identified where it is you want to go. How does your life lining up to it right this second? How can we support you more in doing things more that are healing and helpful and what you want to do and add it in slowly to what you're doing now so you get there? Because I don't feel like as long as you're moving forward, you're never going to fail. You are not going to fail and you're not going to miss the mark because you're constantly moving forward. So meeting clients exactly where they're at, meeting your patients exactly where they're at, is huge because it's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Okay. So if it's not one-size-fits-all, then where do you begin? Is it lifestyle, sending them back to their provider to get specific labs drawn? Is it nutrition and diet, mindfulness, exercise? Where do you start? Or is it just all of the above and you just take it one thing at a time?
It's all of the above and we take it one thing at a time. But the clients know, like they have their own intuition. I believe people's bodies have wisdom. I mean, we exist in homeostasis all day. Our bodies know what they're doing. So they generally have an idea of where they want to start, of what their first thing that they're ready to tackle is. A lot of times it is diet, which is great. I'm like, I can talk about nutrition all day long. I love talking about nutrition. And if it's out of my wheelhouse, I've built a wonderful network because I don't have all the answers and I don't ever want to claim I have all the answers. So I lean on my people. And then if I need a dietitian or I need a therapist or I need a Reiki, anything, anyone that we can add to their care team to give them a complete healing experience, because it's not all on me and it's not all on my client. But we learn what's most important, where to prioritize, and then we move from there. And then there is a little bit of a systematic approach. We talk about diet often. We talk about moving your body. We talk about your environment, whether it's stress in your environment and how you react to it. We can't avoid stress, but we can change our reaction to it. Mindfulness is always a piece 100% of the time. We talk about your relationships with other people, like how that's affecting you, your emotional wellness, if you're challenging your brain, like intellectually, how you feel at work, how that is affecting you. So we take the entire environment into a situation, not just like mold. I mean, that's a thing too, but we take the whole piece. And if we do need more labs, then we educate on what labs we need. And we also send you right back to your doctor until you get the answers you need. But with a plan of A, B, and C, no matter what reaction you get, we're going to be able to counter that from an empowered place, not from a place of, well, my nurse said this. No, they come in full well of the knowledge they need, of the attitude they need, and they're ready to face their doctor with whatever comes back their way. And if we don't like that doctor, we find a new one. And that's okay too.
So you're empowering them to be advocates, to be empowered patients and say, look here, Buster, you know, like these are the labs I want. My insurance is or isn't covering them and I'll pay for them. And this is what I need. And if you don't want to order them, I'll go somewhere else.
Yep. Basically. And it sounds, I feel like a lot of my clients are like, well, then I sound like a Karen or, well, you know, whatever the word is these days for feeling like a whiner. But I'm like, no, you get one life, you get one body, you get one health. And I'm done waiting around for your doctor to get it together to hear you and give you what you need. Because 9 times out of 10, whatever we send them in for that we think that they have, because the clients really know, they know something's off and they have an idea. They have gotten diagnosed or have, like, almost every single time it's exactly what they thought, but they just didn't have the gumption or the teamwork or whatever they were lacking was not being met by their care team. And they weren't able to get those answers. But for some reason, that collaborative effect with us, we get super empowered, pump them up, send them off. And I swear, every time they come back, they get the answers they thought, which is like bittersweet, right? Like, yay, I got my answers. Boo, yeah. I have an illness. But if you can name it, you can tame it, right? So we don't always need a label to heal, but it does help because insurance then covers things and all those things down the road. So I don't believe you need a label to heal, but if that's important to you and getting you progress in your healing journey, then I'm like, let's tackle it. Let's go.
That's really powerful. Yeah. If you can name it, you can tame it.
And yes.
In this particular world where we live, you do need to name things because they need diagnosis codes and then insurance will pay for certain things. Like you said, if you have this certain diagnosis code. So we have to play that game to a certain extent, unless we have, you know, absolutely disposable income and we can just go to a naturopath and have them order everything we want, which
would be great.
Yes. Some people have the privilege of doing that and that's awesome. Right. And many of us don't. So we have to go through relatively mainstream channels in order to get kind of like non-mainstream diagnostic and diagnostic assessments and then care. the follow-up care. And I'm sure there are people out there who maybe can't afford to see you or see other people who do what you do. And that's sad too. And
yes,
you're a business person. So,
right.
Yeah. And oh man, let's switch channels just for 1 second. So as a business person, a nurse entrepreneur, and it's been just over a year now, like you launched right before the pandemic started.
Sure did.
Wow. Okay. that was interesting timing.
It really was. I obviously not planned, but I don't think if I start another business, I'll ever do it the first year of a pandemic, but I did it and here I am. So learning.
Yeah. You should have predicted the pandemic. I'm sorry.
But I would have been great. I would have been doing a lot better than I am now.
Yeah. So a lot of people listen to the show are nurses who maybe are business owners or maybe have a little side hustle, or maybe they want to have a side hustle or have like a real full-blown business. So mm-hmm. has it been, other than the pandemic, that's just, you know, that's a thing, but in terms of like starting a business and launching and then actually being able to make money doing it, what's it been like for you? Like what's the overall, what's your narrative about becoming a nurse entrepreneur?
Oh, this also gets me fired up. So I love this question, Keith. So I would have never done this if I didn't get sick and had to leave the hospital because I was in my dream job. I worked for the pediatric ER and that I loved it. Like kids have the best attitudes. They're like the beautiful version of yourself before the world gets to it and like, you know, affects you. So I love doing that. And the chaos of I loved it. So when I left, it was really hard for me. And I don't think if I would have been in that low of a place, I was so subscribed to the narrative of nursing in the hospital setting that I just didn't even know what was possible outside of it. Honestly, I had no idea that you could leave and you could create your own private practice as a bachelor's prepared nurse. It wasn't even on my radar. And then I happened to get an advertisement for the course that I took to get my CEUs to get certified. And I just was like, you know, I can't lose much right now. I'm already out of work. Everything's crumbling. Let me just snag this phone call. And it was like divine intervention. I was made to do what I'm supposed to do, and shifting from a place that I was trying to fit a deep listening, deeply caring change agent in that hospital it was like putting a square peg in a round hole. It was taxing me physically and emotionally because I kept trying to show up in that way in an environment that prides itself on numbers and things like that, not very individualized healthcare. So when I came out into this entrepreneur thing, I was like, wait, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never owned a business. Like I haven't touched money as a nurse. No one has ever had to exchange money with me. This feels super weird. Like, but I had nothing to lose. So I'm like, let's try it. And that simple choice of just being open to a new way has paved a way to a life designed around everything that lights me up. And that perhaps might be the piece that was most healing, was I was done living by the narrative of other people, of my job or what I thought a nurse should be. And yeah, it was hard. I didn't know how to do it, but it wasn't hard like working in a place that does not align with your values hard. Nothing will be as hard as that. And I mean, I will shamelessly say I also hired a business coach. So I'm on the right podcast for that.
I've hired quite a few myself.
Right. And I love that you do that because that same thing is what we do. I accelerate healing for my clients, but that business coach, which I love that you do it from a holistic perspective, Keith, I think it's fantastic. That is huge because then it's accelerating your growth. It's allowing someone into your special, like, oh, this is like my heart child, right? Like I've created this thing and I felt like I had no clue. So I just hired a coach. I have a clue and I'm doing it. And there's too hard, right? It's hard no matter what. It's hard staying where you're at and it's hard growing. But at the end of the day, I will choose this growing hard any day of the week over the old hard.
Wow. That's an amazing story. You've got a book in you.
Thanks.
You also have a podcast in you, and we'll talk about that offline.
I can't wait.
I'm going to be poking you about that for quite some time now. because you're just such a natural and you have a story to tell and your clients have stories to tell. And there's a world out there of people with autoimmune disease who still don't feel heard and still don't feel like they have a place to go. And we need more voices out in that in the ethers who yes. are telling the positive stories and narratives and offering solutions and empowering people to take the reins of their healthcare
yes.
and their wellness and say, damn it, you know, I'm going to take the healthcare system by the lapels and yes. shake it until I get what I want.
It's there right? to serve you. Like doctors aren't the
allegedly.
Gatekeeper, right? Yeah. The doctors allegedly. Aren't the gatekeeper to your healing. Like yeah. that's, if there's one message I could scream to the world, it's the doctors aren't the gatekeeper to your healing. Yeah. You have everything you need right now where you're at.
The insurance companies are the gatekeepers
to now healing. That is true.
That's another podcast.
Absolutely. If we
that's
can get
where
the
we're
finances.
Talking about healthcare economics.
Yeah. Right. Which I could also go on a soapbox for hours.
Whew, okay. let's not go there today.
No. Nope. Rein it in.
So in your story of becoming a nurse entrepreneur, it's so beautiful how you weave in, like we talked about having a child and having ponies and weaving that into the narrative. And now you're weaving in being an entrepreneur and, you know, taking your nursing and reapplying it in a different way, in a more empowered way, and where you're in total control. And you're saying that when you take control of your life, and this is the subtext that I'm hearing, is that when you have a trauma-based history or history with some trauma in it, and you've developed health issues that have been to some extent like born from the negative compost of that trauma, you can
negative
use that.
Negative compost, I love that.
You can take that, that's yours.
Perfect.
So when that happens, then you have choices to make. And you're saying that you either kind of sit back and say, okay, you know, I'm a victim, or you can go the other way and say, I'm going to become my own superhero, right? I'm going to put my cape on and like just go for it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's part of the healing journey, is making positive decisions for yourself and doing things that are the right things for you to do in that moment.
Yeah, nothing right. will slap that low self-esteem, hopelessness, or depression or anxiety in the face like showing up every damn day like you know what you're doing, like you're living it, because you do, because it's yours. You're an adult. You get to make uh-huh. the decisions now. And we subconsciously pick up the narratives of other people or our, you know, the people around us. No one ever does it on purpose. No one's purposely like, oh, I'm going to be a victim. But
right, true.
We can identify where that is and decide, okay, is that something we want to keep subscribing to? Or do we want to kick it out? Let's declutter these thoughts. Just like you would get rid of your old stuff. Like, let's get rid of it and make space for a more authentic experience to you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is amazing. And I want to ask, like, in your own life, you've created something for yourself, you know, with your family, the ponies, which I keep going back to.
they're the best part some days.
Yeah. And your business and the land you live on and everything. So what do you feel like might be next from you, aside from launching a podcast? Do you picture speaking, writing, like where would you like to take this? Because working one-on-one with people is awesome. I do it every day. And then there's also ways to reach people on a bigger macro level. So what's on your mind these days? And just don't disclose anything you don't want to if it's like top secret.
You know? Oh no, nothing's top secret. I'm a very transparent person, like I've mentioned. So I like speaking my dreams out anyway. It holds me accountable. So thank you for the opportunity, first and foremost, to do that. I really want to, I mean, speaking would be great. I've spoken at some couple local places and I love that. I am apprehensive to writing a book, but I keep hearing I should mm-hmm. about that. But really what I want to do is create group coaching experiences, because I also think that camaraderie of the people that I am coaching would really be a helpful piece. And I'm missing that with the one-on-ones, right? Like I'm one-on-one and that's amazing. But like, if I could do group coaching where then after they're done the coaching experience, they could go on change with women and men. Sometimes men are coming up now, just normally women are diagnosed with autoimmune disease at much higher rate. So no shade to the guys, just I get more women. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be awesome. Like that they could have that camaraderie and changed to continue on once our coaching experience is over. So public speaking for sure. But the podcast, honestly, Keith, you've convinced me that might be it. That might be next on the chopping block.
Awesome. So you and I'll talk about that because yes, I think there's enormous gap. There's room out there. There are some great podcasts that are delving into, you know, the areas that are not getting as much attention. So that's great.
Yes, but there's room, we need it.
There's room for you, Ashley. There's room in the world for you. So, and I think you're a very natural, organic, kind, connective type of speaker, obviously. And this is your first podcast appearance. I think first of many, I'm sure. This will be the beginning of your resume as a podcast guest, as a stellar podcast guest, by the way. So I think there's room for you as a nurse entrepreneur and a healer and a representative of this particular realm that is underutilized, but just
underrepresented, maybe.
Underrepresented, yeah, and underrecognized, that you could kind of bring it out into the light more. And
yes,
that's what we need, right?
Yes. And
so we'll be talking about that. And we'll be talking more about ponies too, and donkeys. Yeah. So your ponies' names are?
Ginger and Dreamy.
Ginger and Dreamy. And then Sammy, your daughter. And then you have your husband, who I believe is a vet of the Marines.
Yes.
And you told me that he now... he's grown long hippie hair.
We actually just cut it last month.
Oh, okay.
We did. It was, you know, when you've been in the house for a year with quarantine, you do crazy things. And he was like, just cut it off. So I cut it off in our kitchen.
Cool. Okay.
Quarantine's a weird time.
Isn't it? Yeah. Well, I want to have you back again later this year, and we
Absolutely.
Can kind of dive deeper and maybe find some other places to go, and maybe talk a little bit about your best-selling book that's out, you know, and your interview on Fresh Air with Terry Gross, you know, that sort of stuff.
Your belief in me is unmatched. Thanks, Keith.
Okay. Yeah. No charge. Okay. Well, Ashley, you're the best, and I'm so glad we met. I don't even remember how we met.
Instagram. One of those willy-nilly things. I'm grateful for it.
It was Instagram. And, you know, I also just encourage people just to meet people, because like you and I met, we noticed each other at Instagram, and then we started messaging each other, led to a phone call that was amazing a few months ago, and then led to this.
Right. And we need more friends in the healing business.
We do. Right. We need more friends in general. So
yes.
I encourage people just to, like, when your curiosity leads you to somebody, there's usually a reason, and just check it out. And not every person you meet becomes like your best friend in the whole wide world, but each person is a piece of the puzzle. And I think that's part of our healing as well. And I have chronic illness and chronic disease and all sorts of things happening. So, you know, I need people in my life too. And if we're highly relational, then we need to make sure we make time to relate.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, we wouldn't be friends if we didn't just take a chance on an Instagram message. So
that's true. Yeah. Well, thanks for being my friend.
Thank you, Keith.
Yeah. You're really wonderful. This has been fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for listening to this awesome episode of the Nurse Keith Show. And remember, please go to nursekeith.com/episode and the number 323 to learn all about Ashley Durant. You can also go to deeplyrootedwellness.llc.com. And on Facebook, you can find Ashley at ashley.durantrn. She's also on Instagram at autoimmune nurse Ashley. and LinkedIn, Ashley Durant RN. So please check her out. Let her know you met her and learned about her here on the Nurse Keith Show. I hope you feel uplifted and empowered from this episode. And I encourage you to take inspired action every day in the interest of your personal and professional satisfaction. And if you need personalized holistic career coaching to elevate your nursing career, look no further than nursekeith.com. And remember, mention the show and you can get 10% off your first coaching package. And if you mention Ashley Durant, I will give you 20% off your first coaching package. And remember, the Nurse Keith Show is a proud member of the Health Podcast Network at healthpodcastnetwork.com, one of the largest and fastest growing collections of authoritative and quality podcasts all about health, healthcare, healing, medicine, technology, and beyond. They're at healthpodcastnetwork.com. Please check them out. The Nurse Keith Show is adroitly produced by Rob Johnston of 520R Podcasting. Thank you, Rob. And Mark Cappy Speeson is our stalwart social media ringmaster. I'm grateful to both Rob and Mark for keeping the wheels turning in the right direction, because who knows which way they would turn without them at my side. Be well, dig deep, seek joy, get some ponies for yourself. Keep in touch. This is Nurse Keith saying adios till next time from beautiful Santa Fe, New Mexico, and my new friend who I will always treasure, Ashley Durant, bidding you adieu from
Maryland.
Okay, Ashley, thank you so much. We will have you back. You're a star. And thank you, everyone. And we will catch you on the flip side.